The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Wow. What a privilege. Father, you know my prayer that you move your servant out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, these are not very comforting verses today. But for those of us who need comfort, I pray these verses will give us comfort. Father, for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. That is your privilege. That is your power. That is your responsibility. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing I can say can convict anyone. So we thank you for keeping your servant clear of your path, that we may never be the same because we heard your word. In Jesus' name, we all say,
praise God.
If you heard amen, you know they're visiting now. I think he wants me to know he's visiting it. If you don't speed up, he ain't coming back. It's been a while since we've been in the book of John. Amen. So let's do a little quick review. So before I start preaching, I'm going to sit down for the review, and then we're going to get caught up. Book of John. One of the four Gospels. Even though it's in the New Testament, it's still under Old Testament law. Book of John. Different than the other four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about Jesus being a man. John talks about Jesus being God. Totally different. That's why it's not a synoptic gospel. Book of John, 21 chapters. 3 years in the ministry of Jesus Christ. There are only 7 miracles in the book of John. The first 3 miracles, we have said, is to teach people how to become Christians. Chapter 2, the changing of water to wine. Chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son. Chapter 5, the healing of the impotent man. Those 3 talk about how to become a Christian. The 4th miracle talks about Jesus walking on the water. Excuse me, the feeding of the 5,000. That is about how Jesus used you and I to help people come to know him. Chapter 6. The 5th miracle. 5th, 6th, and 7th miracle talks about how to walk with Christ after you become a Christian. We've only done one of those. That is Jesus walking on the water. Peter losing his sight and sinking. And it's where you have your hand and where you have your face in the middle of the storm, how you walk strongly. We have 2 more, chapter 9 and chapter 11. Chapter 9, the healing of the blind man that was born from birth. No one can see without Christ. And if you walk in him, you may have to keep your eyes on him to see the truth of things that is to come. And chapter 11 is bringing Lazarus back from the dead. Understanding that Christ, our Savior, has the power over death. Why does death have any sting for any of us? We can live boldly because Christians are the only one that can afford to quit breathing. And if we understand that and believe that, you're talking about some serious boldness. Out of the 21 chapters, chapter 1 through 12 happens in 3 years. Takes 3 years for it to happen. Chapters 13 through 18 happens in one night. One night. And chapters 19 through 21 happens in about 44 to 47 days. What a book. Getting to chapter 7 today, opens up a whole different view about Jesus and how he's treated. Because from chapter 7 to verse chapter 21, it's 6 months of Jesus' life. The last 6 months of him living on the earth. Wow. We're going to see and look at the end of chapter 6 because Jesus is giving them a truth in chapter 6 that shakes everybody up. Shakes up his followers. Jesus Christ says, most of you are following me because of what you can get out of it on earth. Christianity is not about what you can just get about on earth. Christianity is about what we're going to get when we leave earth. Major truth there. So Jesus gives them a challenge. And that challenge is, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me and drink of my blood, you should live, because it's not like what Moses did. Moses brought bread from heaven that lasted a day, temporary. Also, everyone that ate manna died. They had manna for breakfast. They had manna for lunch. They had manna for dinner. And they had banana bread for dessert. That's smoking right there. Even if I say so myself. And when Jesus Christ says that was just temporary, I am the permanent bread and you got to eat of me and drink my blood. The follower says, sorry. Cannot handle that. That's a hard saying. Who can believe it? That brings us to verse 66, because I want you to know these are not just haphazard followers. We're talking about thousands of followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Wow. Can I ask you a question? Now, how many times have we probably read those verses? Hundreds, if we've been Christians for a while. How many times have we heard these preached on? Probably more than that. But have you distinguished one word in that verse? And many of his haphazard followers left him after that. Many of those that visited the church every now and then stopped following him after that. Many who didn't agree with him anyway stopped walking with him after that. The word is disciple. Many of his disciples said, this is too hard for us. We don't lack this doctrine. And they walked away from him and never walked with him again. How would you feel if those who say they believe, now there's not many times that I can relate to Jesus Christ very strongly. He's God. My expectations and my experience is limited. There's nothing limited about God. He knows the extent of everything. The what ifs, the why nots. He knows it all. He's omniscient. Back in my hometown, we wouldn't say omniscient. We say Jesus omniscience. Don't that make better sense? He knows all science. Here he is, knowing every aspect of what's right and wrong, and those disciples that have followed him for the wrong reason at times says, your doctrine is too hard for us, and we're going to go and find someone that agrees with us. Now, can I ask the question, especially of the leadership? If you are being discipled by someone that you have submitted to for years and say you believe and you're committed to them, and decide, I don't like your doctrine anymore. I'm going to go and find me somebody that agrees with me. How can you be disciple and grow if you only want someone that agrees with you? As a church, do you want someone that is just going to agree with you? As shepherds, as elders, deacons. Because the number one purpose is to stand on the word of God regardless. Now check this out. This is what's amazing. Aren't we supposed to be in chapter 7? Wow. If you hadn't noticed, we are an expository church. Expository preaching. That means chapter by chapter, verse by verse, word by word. Do you know how many pastors think that that is extremely boring? Yeah. I have one answer for them. They are boring. And they don't like it when I tell them. You're pretty boring. At least give me the word. I can leave with that. Can I have an amen? Some of you guys looking at me like, whoa, where's he going? I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't. Well, in the Midwest, they're hoping the creek rise. Can I have an amen right now? It's been so long since it rained out there where we were, man, in Texas. 105. And they're talking about, that's the dry heat. You ever heard that one? Oh, it's 105, but it's a dry heat. I'm so happy it's a dry heat. So why are y'all running for the air condition? Because we lack it cool, Pastor. Verse 6 and 7, then said Jesus unto the 12, are you going to go away also? Then Simon Peter, my boy, who oftentimes don't open his mouth to change feet, this is one of them. He said, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life. I love this. He says, Jesus, where are we going to go? You got the truth. We're not just committed to you. We're committed to the word of truth and eternal life. So if you walk away, Jesus, and get messed up, we're still going to hold to the word. That is a disciple. Because it's not a commitment to a person. It's a commitment to a call in the word of God. You can never be disappointed if you sold out to God and his word. Anybody? This is awfully quiet, man. My first Sunday back. You're going to make me feel like I should take another vacation. Whew. Can I? Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 6, 9. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love this. You know, so many people go, well, Jesus never claimed that he was God, that he was the Christ, the Messiah, and he never allowed anyone to say he was. It's only one thing wrong with that statement, and that is, it's wrong. Wow. You're the Christ. You're the word. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or says. I don't care how many has deserted you. We'll stand until you get crucified. Then we're all going to run. Do you have an until in your life? As a Christian, have you come to the realization that you're going to walk with God unless... I'm going to walk with God until. You have a staff that is loyal to you. It's a calling. And I guarantee you, if it was about ministry and money, you wouldn't have a staff. They all be gone. We're going to talk about that later on. But they believe in the word. They believe in a calling. They believe in what's coming. Now, I am no prophet. Can I have an amen? For heaven's sakes. I am no prophet. Well, you didn't have to say that enthusiastic. For heaven's sakes, man. You got to show a little love. You know, that's the way I roll. I will give no prophecy before it happens. And so far, I'm 100%. We are a non-profit organization. Am I rolling yet? Somebody give me a black handkerchief. Wow. Do you know what's coming, church? You have any idea of what's coming? It's not prophecy. It's just open your eyes and look. Do you know what is going to happen to the church? And we don't have to wait very long. We're going to know in November. Local and national elections. We're going to know what's coming our way. And I want men and women that are rooted. Rooted in the word. I don't want people that's 10 miles wide and 1 inch deep. I want them 1 inch wide and 10 miles deep. You know why? Because those are the type of people that won't give up when it gets bad here. You got pastors that are rooted deep, and you're going to need pastors that's rooted deep. Because after November, according on what votes just in this state alone, there's going to be churches that is going to compromise like crazy to stay open. And that's not going to happen at Antioch. And if you don't have deep-rooted pastors, it's going to be suggested like this. Well, maybe we ought to at least talk about it. Nope! Government tried to tell us what to do. We will shut this sucker down before we compromise the word of God. That's leadership. But you got to have deep-rooted people. Gone through the fire. Know what it means not to be comfortable. To have that type of stand. Not like these disciples. Just because they did not like the doctrine, disciples said, bye. When people leave Antioch, I take it personally. I really do. Because I'm a shepherd of the one God sends. And sometimes you have to just look at why people leave and you say, praise God, bye. Other times you got to look and glean at what they're saying to do what? Improve. But either way, I want deep-rooted people. I had a friend, Jerry Mitchell, pastor over at Crossroads, talked about planting a tree in his yard when he was down in California. And everyone on the street had trees that they had planted with wire posted in the ground to hold them up. Can't hear you. Give them strength. And Jerry didn't put any wire on his trees. He just let it grow. And so the wind would come along and that old tree be bouncing back and forth. And the other trees just there. Not even moving. It got support from the wires. Can you have an amen? So a year or so went by. Everyone pulled their wires off the trees because they say it's strong enough. People used to get mad at Jerry's old weak tree just flopping around. Just tell him, why don't you support that thing? Said, nah. About a year and a half after that, after they had taken the supports off the tree, a big storm came through. Can anyone tell me what was the only tree standing when the storm got through? Jerry's tree. Why? Because for all those years it had been planted, it weathered the storm and the roots went deep. That's Antioch. Thank God you got a staff that's deep rooted instead of a pretty boy who wants you to do whatever you want to do as your shepherd. Woo! Well, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you, verse 70? I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil. Oh, my land. How would you like to be in that meet? And one of y'all is a devil. You're from Satan? You don't think they're looking around? I bet it's Peter. You know, I think it's Andrew. He never says anything. He just goes out and finds lunches. I'm sorry. This church shouldn't be fun. Should be extremely boring. We all know that. So let me remove my humor. Not. You can just imagine. I mean, how would you feel if you was in that group? Jesus has never said anything wrong. One of y'all is a devil. Got a question for you. Why would Jesus Christ decide to disciple a non-believer? You ever thought about that? And that non-believer never believed. As a matter of fact, that non-believer ended up going and killing Christ, having him killed by turning the men to the Roman soldiers. You know, church, if Jesus Christ can't do that, why do you try to disciple a non-believer? Well, okay. I see I need to get a little personal. You date a non-believer as a Christian? Why? You think Jesus, you can accomplish something Jesus didn't do? Going out with a non-Christian, it don't work. Somebody's going to compromise. And it's usually not the non-believer. Why? Let me tell you why. And let me give you a little secret about this. Is that okay? You're not really dating them to lead them to Jesus Christ anyway. You're dating them because you like the way they look. Come on, talk to me. I can lead them to Christ later. I'm lonely. And non-believers treat me better than Christians. Oh, cock-a-doodle-doo. Anybody will do. So if you're a non-believer and you and this guy or girl is dating you, say they're Christians, you better think twice because you may be their last choice. They can't get anybody else. Jesus can do it. Why do you think you should? And can. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now we're running out of time. Aren't we supposed to be in chapter 7? Man, we're rolling. So we'll get into a lot next week, but let's finish up. Verse 1. Now from chapter 7 to chapter 21 is how many months? How long? 6 years left of his life. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Woo! Question. Ready? Avery? You ready? Okay. Jesus Christ is all powerful. He's omnipotent. Can I get an amen? He can call legions of angels from heaven. He knows what every man thinks and knows if they're trying to kill him or not. And Jesus Christ, with all the power from heaven, did not stop using common sense. Can I have an amen? Jesus said, man, they want to kill me down here. Let's go north. That's why people ask, Pastor, you own a gun? I said, no. I own guns. Got a brother from Ways to know I do. Guns! I got dogs. None of them are Christians. But they will help you see Jesus. Did not God use common sense? They want to kill me down there. I'm going to hang north, and I'm going to make my 3 years to reach what Scripture has to say. Because he stayed down south in Judea, he never would have made 3 years, humanly speaking. So Jesus stayed up in Galilee majority of his time, of his 3 years. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart from here and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Verse 5 is a sad verse. For neither of his brothers believed in him. How many of his brothers believed in him? You're living with God. Raised with God. Saw how perfect he was. And they didn't believe until after the resurrection. So shall I bring home the point that I like to bring home today? For you to walk out with. Let me see if I can do that. It's one thing to be rejected by the masses. That hurts. Amen? By the masses that don't even spend any time with you. But they got all kinds of conclusions about you. And they reject you. It's one thing to be rejected by your disciples. I'm talking about the large group of disciples. Does that hurt? You know it hurts. But inside the disciples is a small group of disciples. Jesus had 12. I have about 30. To be rejected by your disciples or that small group, think that hurts? People that has been in with you and said they believe in you and they're going to support you and we're going to die together. Leave. And then talk about you with others that is left. That hurts. Amen? Amen. Close friends. But can you imagine being God, living with your brothers, and being rejected by your family? That cuts deep. Praise be to God. I don't know. They may be just blind, but my family still loves me. They still believe in me. And they still walk what we say we believe. No greater blessing than that. And you are our family. Our extended family. I expect you to have deep roots. Strong roots. Can weather the storm with me. And if you ever get weak, feel like quitting, take a gander at your pastor. I will be your example. Sam! Sir. Mr. Davis. As Mr. Vieira closes us today, will you please ask yourself, as we're 5 minutes over, and I'm sorry, are we going to stand as a family? Are we going to have deep roots? Because when the storm comes, rats will abandon other ships. And you know, Christians are a lot like rats. But when they see the ship floating in the middle of the storm, they'll be back.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.